Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hey, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all. Season 9, episode 217. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And listen, we're going to mix it up. This episode is brought to you by Edgewise. Edgewise is our new-ish company for podcast and marketing content creation. So if you like what we do and you want a podcast, I mean, check out edgewise.media. We'd love for you to do that. So,
I mean, I got to believe every single Tech Talk Y'all listener would love to have a podcast just as awesome as Tech Talk
Y'all. Yeah, I think so. And you can have a podcast this awesome.
It is within reach.
Just reach out to us at edgewise.media. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about creating, taking your podcast and turning it into tons of marketing content to drive your whole business. So we'd love to chat about that. Just a reminder there. So listen, in this episode, we have a lot to cover. We're going to talk about the big Microsoft buy, Walmart getting into NFTs. I don't get it. Twitter getting into NFTs, an NFT restaurant, an NFT group that bought something real stupid. Lots of NFTs. Tumblr, Airbnb, Google requiring payments. Sanjay's excited about that one. Manslaughter charges and much, much more. So stay tuned. Of course, we have Weird and Wacky coming to you and TechRex at the end. Don't forget.
I feel like we almost need to rename Tech Talk Y'all to be NFT Talk Y'all.
NFT Y'all. There you go. That's it. That's it. It's the NFT Y'all, you know? So we could probably get some good play from that. So
maybe we should get that domain name, NFT Y'all.
NFT Y'all. There you go. Well, listen, let's kick it off because this is crazy. Microsoft buys scandal-tainted Activision in bet on the metaverse. Sanjay, how much did they pay?
$68.7 billion.
Dude.
But that's down from their high because, you know, they've had all these.
Yeah, that's true. You know, maybe that's why they bought now, because they're down.
Well, exactly.
You buy when the market's down. That's what you
exactly.
do.
Exactly. So, yeah. I think they definitely bought when there was this opportunity.
Yeah.
This, by the way, impacted Sony's share price by going down mm-hmm. because Activision owns Call of Duty and a bunch of games like that, Candy Crush. Mm-hmm. And so now presumably what will probably end up happening is that those games will disappear from all the other platforms and only be available on Xbox.
I don't know that that's true. I think Microsoft is smarter than that. I think all the games that have brought appeal, I think, like, look at Fortnite. Fortnite is crushing it because they're available on everything else. I think
true, but look at Halo. Halo's only available on Xbox.
I think there's a version where you can play on the PC, if I'm not mistaken.
But that's still in Windows.
That's not on a console. That's a fair point.
You can't play on PlayStation. You can't play on Nintendo.
Yeah. Well,
although
we'll
that'd
see.
Be weird to play on Nintendo.
I hope they're smarter than that. But like, one thing to note about this is not just the largest gaming acquisition. This is actually the largest tech acquisition.
Is like, it? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I was reading an article and it said, you know, it did that whole thing like the largest gaming, and gaming was struck out, and it said tech. I mean, it's the largest deal. So, I mean, this is a big, big deal. So, I mean, hey, props to Microsoft. Go all in on gaming. It's a good move. So
I will say, though, you know, you might be right about this, because didn't Microsoft, don't they own Minecraft?
I believe they do. Yeah.
And that's still available on all the other platforms too. So
yeah, I think they won't go
Xbox only with this stuff.
Yeah.
Talking about the metaverse, Walmart is quietly preparing to enter the metaverse. And then everybody said, what? Why?
Everybody said, let me do that too, including Nike and Gucci and.
Most of the rest of us normal humans are like, what? Why? I don't care.
I mean, so Walmart's talking about, like, they're doing some trademark work for NFTs. They're doing some trademark work for potential cryptocurrencies. And they're looking at, you know, goods, digital goods in the metaverse. I mean, Nike's doing the same thing. Nike recently bought a virtual sneaker company, and they're going to be able to offer, you know, Nike gear in the metaverse. I mean, I get it, because, like, for example, Fortnite skins is like a big thing, like, and people will pay money for certain Fortnite skins, which is just a certain look of your character. So I get it, but at the same time, it's crazy. So I mean, it's where we're going, man. It is what it is. So.
It is what it is. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So speaking of that, also, Twitter brings NFTs to the timeline as hexagon shaped profile pictures. So if you see a hexagon, like rounded corner, little hexagon shaped profile picture, that's an NFT. And but the implementation has not been perfect. Right, Sanjay?
Yeah. So first of all, this is only available on iOS. So you have to have an iOS device and running the app.
Right.
And so then it's supposed to be a qualified NFT that's in your wallet can then be set to your profile picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you know, people are going to start messing with it the minute you release it.
Yeah.
And people realize that you could mint your own NFT by making a copy of somebody else's NFT because it is just a digital picture.
Yeah.
And nothing prevents you from copying it.
Yeah.
And then you could set that to your profile picture. So that whole like, hey, this is actually the one that you own doesn't really mean much. And the tweet that we've linked to in the show notes show somebody that did just that. The person that reported it, they copied their NFT and made it their avatar and responded to them. So it's going to need a little work. And also, why the hating on Android? Like, not that I'm going to do this because I don't know. Hexagonal avatar doesn't do much for me, but
you don't want to know my answer. I think my answer is going to have to be that Apple users are early adopters, man. That's all I'm trying to say. So,
So let me translate that for you. So Apple users are willing to waste their money on NFTs to set their Twitter avatar and get a hexagonal.
That's exactly profile. What I mean. That's okay. It. That, okay. Thank
Got
you.
It. Got
you
it.
You read between the lines. Way to go there. All right. Listen, speaking of spending exorbitant amounts of money on things that just are pointless, an NFT restaurant opening in New York will serve up status with a side of seafood. So,
you know what it sounds like when you say NFT restaurant? It's like you go there and you order NFTs to eat. And you can't my do gosh. That.
Did you see the numbers in this article?
Yeah, it's nuts.
So this place is called Fly Fish Club. And to get into the restaurant, you have to be an NFT owner. So it's like an exclusive restaurant. You can only get in if you only have the privilege of getting in if you own the right NFT. And then the numbers were, let's see, on the secondary market, as of Friday afternoon, that's last Friday afternoon, on the secondary market, the tokens were going for an equivalent of $13,600. But then if you want to get into like an extra private room.
Because that wasn't enough.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah. It's not exclusive enough just to get in. If you want to get into an extra private room, those tokens are going for $29,500. And bear in mind, this is just to get your foot in the door of the restaurant. You still have to pay for the food, which I'm assuming is also incredibly expensive. So
here's, this is an interesting thing because presumably they've set up these NFT tokens, such that they take a cut if they're resold.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting additional revenue. By the way, they only released 1,501 of these tokens. They held back 1,500 for future uses.
Right.
And the problem is that a lot of people are buying these for speculative purposes. So they don't even live in New York. They don't plan on going to the restaurant.
Right.
The restaurant's only going to function if people come to the restaurant and spend money there.
Yeah.
And so the restaurant could end up failing because the NFT thing was too successful because people keep buying and selling the NFT and not come.
You know what I would love to see? I would just love to go like with somebody that's got the NFT. And I can already imagine like you walk up to the concierge desk.
They would just look
desk.
At you and go like, no.
You walk up to the concierge desk and they go, they say name and you give them your name and they look on a paper list for the member name. I guarantee you that's how this is going to work. There is like the NFT just gets you on a paper list. That's all it is. Like, it's just, that's all you're doing. You get a digital token to get on a paper list, to get into a restaurant, to pay a ton of money for seafood, to not go into the super private room. That's what's happening right now. So.
But the NFT lets you sell your place on the list, on the paper list, and make your money back.
Fair point. So
that's the difference.
There you go.
Next up, is Tumblr on the road back to relevance? Wait, what? Tumblr?
Back? They were purchased years ago by WordPress for $3 million. Okay. So at the height, they sold for billions. They were purchased by WordPress for $3 million. And apparently Gen Z has become very interested in Tumblr specifically because there's not a ton of self-promoters on there. There's not a ton of ads on there. There's not a ton of
just
garbage on there. So, I mean, okay, cool. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share.
I bet you the next thing they find is Craigslist.
That's probably
like, there's no ads on Craigslist.
Oh man, you can buy stuff on, you can get, I mean, you can
buy
get
and sell stuff.
Deals.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right. Well, speaking of new and upcoming things, I guess Airbnb CEO Brian, was it Chesky, says he'll work remotely and stay in a new rental every 2 weeks. And we also
picked the best place to start with. The ATL, right? The here.
ATL.
He's so in the he's ATL. Here. He's here in town.
Yeah.
But then, like, the next day, I saw this article, which made me realize, like, oh, that's why he started in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They've picked Atlanta to be their East Coast tech hub. I'm calling it the East Coast headquarters, but it's their East Coast tech hub.
Okay.
And that was just announced. So they're going into this the new development, yard something.
Okay.
Pullman Yards? I don't know. Yeah. So one of those places in town, kind of west Midtown. So there's going to be a big Airbnb presence here in Atlanta. So
I love it.
I don't think this is actually going to be just a one and done with him here. I suspect he's probably going to be here regularly with this new office being built here.
Yeah. Airbnb, they're doing some good stuff. I've actually met and talked to their CIO before. He's a great guy, and they've done some really good work with some nonprofit space here in Atlanta. Gave away a bunch of laptops and stuff. I mean, they're a really good company. So.
Yeah, I heard when they decided, because they were supposed to open up an office here before the pandemic, and then obviously everything kind of got shut down. And I heard recently that they were starting back up, and they were putting any tax benefits that they got from opening up this office here. They were taking that money and turning it around and donating it to other nonprofits and things like that.
Wow. So
really good corporate citizen.
Yeah, that's cool.
Really like that a lot.
I love that.
Big fan and looking forward to them having a huge presence here in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yep.
Next up, Instagram launches a early test of creator subscriptions in the U.S., which really that translates to a big giant paywall on Instagram.
Yeah.
And they're going to make it like everything else.
Here's what I want to know. Who would you pay to follow on Instagram, Sanjay, for unique content? Name it. Give me a person. Who would you pay?
Yeah, alive or dead? Can I do dead people too?
I mean, no. Let's do alive, man. Come on. Alive. Yeah. Who would you pay?
Because dead, I was gonna go with Bob Marley. Like I would pay to
see some Bob Marley. Okay. All right. I'll allow it. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
But that's not real because he's not alive anymore. So
yeah.
I don't know who I would pay that's living. That
I don't either. I can't think of a person. Whose content I would actually pay, maybe like a comedian or something. But then again, there's so much prolific comedy on the internet.
Yeah, that's why I have Netflix.
Or honestly, that's why I have TikTok. Like that's what my whole TikTok feed is stand-up comedy. So I just don't see it happening, man.
I really can't think of anybody that is like, I am such a fan that I got to see even the stuff behind the paywall.
Me neither. All right. Well, speaking of other things you can pay for, I guess, Locket. The number one app on Apple's App Store uses a trick hiding in plain sight. So I mainly tagged this because I thought it was funny.
I actually kind of love this idea. It's really well done.
Yeah. Describe it for us.
You're the Apple guy. Have you tried it out?
Well, no, I have not. So essentially, this app, you put a widget on your screen and your home screen. You can do that with Apple now, finally, after so many years of not being able to. And I'm just saying. And somebody else
Welcome
that has
to 2022,
the app,
by the way.
Yeah. Somebody else that has the app that you give permission can take a photo, and then their photo shows up on your screen. So it's kind of like a way of being like, hey, I'm thinking of you. You know, here's a photo to show up on your screen. Which is fun. I will tell you, Sanjay, that I did try to get one of our mutual friends to install this on his phone and give me access so that I could do photos on his screen. And there was a resounding no to that thing. I was like, look, man, it won't be anything bad. Just maybe some weird stuff. Like, that's all. Just something unusual, unique, you know? And there was, it was an absolute no to that. So
it's actually a really interesting idea because the network is intentionally supposed to be small, I think.
Yeah.
Like, isn't there a maximum number of people you can have in your group?
Like I'm not sure, but you're right. Like that's the whole point is that it's a very intimate, like it's the people, it's like a locket, the people you would open up and you see their photo in your locket. Right. It's that kind of an idea. Right.
I actually really like the idea. And not to pimp, together letters again, but it's almost the same kind of thing with that,
very
right?
Similar.
Like
yeah,
creating a very small group.
Yeah.
That's intimate that you can share things with. That's not public, that's not published on the internet.
Yep.
And it's only for you to consume. Love the idea.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love the idea. As you might have heard, Sanjay and I have a new project called Together Letters. So this episode is brought to you by Together Letters. The idea is simple. Everyone has email.
No one wants to log in to another thing, but everyone wants to stay connected. Together Letters uses email to create a collaborative newsletter, keeping groups better connected. Sign up today at togetherletters.com.
All right, Sanjay, introduce us to this next article because I know you're real excited about it.
I'm so upset. Google is now requiring all G Suite Legacy Free Edition users to start paying for Workspace this year.
I mean, I have got is this really so surprising?
No, but I've had them for like over 15 years and they've not asked for a penny and they make bajillions of dollars.
Yeah, but like this is a, I mean, this is, it's a service that you got before they started requiring payment for it. And you've gotten a free ride for like 15 years. I mean, come on, man. Like,
so?
Yeah.
So what's another 15 years between friends? We're not really friends. So
yeah, I mean, yeah,
I really don't know what I'm going to do. You know,
how
I
many do you have?
About, so I probably got I a dozen. I don't use all of them, but I registered, you know, accounts every time I had a domain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of them are domains that I don't use anymore, really, yeah, anyways, you know, like right, Startup Riot and things like that. So I can consolidate right, all those.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a little painful. And yeah, it's made me start looking at alternatives. I was thinking about ProtonMail, but then I realized, like, oh, they got me. Because not only do we have email through them on my personal domain, we also have Google Voice. So if I want to move mm-hmm, those, that's going to cost me money, yeah, those phone numbers. And yeah, then anywhere I land, it's going to cost me money.
Yeah.
And then I've got, you know, calendar set up. And then, oh, then the other thing I started thinking about was, and I need to figure this out, the whole login using your Google account. Well, if my account's gone, how do I log into your service now?
Mm.
This is why I hate yeah, those single yeah, sign-on things using yeah, other people's services, because
it can trap
my
you.
My account goes away.
Yeah, it can really trap you. Yeah, so I try not to use those anytime I can help it.
Yeah, so. There's a couple of services that was the only way to sign on. So
yep.
I got to figure that out now. I'm going to, you know, fortunately, everybody has until I think it's May yeah, 1st.
Okay.
So they've given you a little bit of time. I wish it was a lot longer than that. I wish it had been like a year. So
yeah,
that we could like really take our time.
I mean, they gave you 15 years time, man. I mean, you had all kinds of time.
Well, they didn't tell me 15 years ago that, hey, in 2022, we're kicking you off.
But in all fairness, I mean, you had to know it's not going to be free forever. Nothing ever is.
No, so. I didn't know that. They make billions upon billions of dollars every single quarter
yeah,
in profits.
That's true. That's
not
true.
In revenue, in profits. Yeah.
Well, you could just tell them to sell more of your data to somebody. How about that? Like,
yeah,
does that
want
work
that
out? You don't?
No, I don't okay, want that.
No, you don't want that. Well, next article is less whimsical, I guess. Manslaughter charges follow Tesla driver's autopilot red light run. So if I remember this correctly, essentially this was 2019. Somebody was in their Tesla. They had it on autopilot. They were on the interstate. I believe they exited the interstate. And when they exited the interstate, there was a red light at the end of the off ramp, and it ran the red light and killed two people. So
yeah,
in the car that they hit.
Yeah. Because very specifically, Tesla is not supposed to, you're not supposed to use the autopilot on Tesla where there are lights, stop lights, because it cannot, or back then at least, it cannot read them.
Right. Yeah. So it's a very sad story, but the big thing is that this is the first time that manslaughter charges, criminal charges have been brought against a Tesla driver, somebody using autopilot, and it could set a really interesting precedent for the long term in terms of who's liable for these devices. And now in my mind, like, honestly, like, this is a very clear cut case. Like,
yeah,
Tesla says, like, even on autopilot, when even on the interstate, you have to be paying attention. Your hands should be on the wheel. They've got, you know, mechanisms in place to make sure your hands are on the wheel every so often, whatever else. Like, to me, it just makes sense. Like, this is obviously the driver's fault, but it does have long-term and far-reaching implications. So it'll be interesting to watch this case.
Yeah, no matter what, you are in charge. You are responsible as the yeah, human there
yeah,
for what the machine is doing. So
yeah, yeah. Now, I think there will become a point with auto driving where you're not. There will come a time when it gets so far where you're not even required to be like, maybe there are even cars that don't even have windshields, for example, right? Like, there will come a point in time, but I think we're a very long way off from that at this point.
I think there, me included, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are motion sick if that happens.
Well, for sure.
I need the windows. Sure.
Yeah, no. Yeah, your face when I said that was fantastic. You're like, ooh. It was like that Scooby-Doo face, you know, that he makes on the cartoon. Like,
yep.
Oh,
so. It's like, well, there go my road trips, because
I'm never traveling again.
It's going to be a vomit trip.
I can't even make it to the airport now. We're all done. Thank you very much. It's going to be a vomit trip. Okay.
The only places that I can go is walking distance at that point.
That's awesome.
There you go. Next up, this is not a good thing again, but airlines cancel some flights ahead of the U.S. 5G wireless launch. So you've probably heard a lot about this, and maybe you don't understand what is happening, but basically the Boeing has advised a bunch of these airlines that they need to either cancel or be careful with their airplanes, because the altimeter that is used when pilots are coming into a airport with low visibility, they can be affected by the 5G signals.
Frequency,
and,
right.
Yeah, because of the frequency and the power. So the power that we're using here in the U.S. is more than twice as powerful as in other countries. Mm. And the range around airports is a lot less. I think I saw something. It's the last 20 seconds of flight time is protected around an airport. Whereas in other countries, it's the last 96 seconds or 98 seconds.
So that actually,
I don't know why they didn't round up to 100 seconds, but
I saw articles that said, oh, this isn't a problem in other countries, so this explains why it's not a problem in other countries, because the power is different and the flight time protected is different, right?
Right. So the distance, therefore, around the airports is a lot larger.
Yeah.
And then the power, obviously, if you decrease the power, that helps out quite a bit. So,
right.
I don't understand why we did not do the same thing, because this has been deployed in other countries.
Yeah, for sure.
And the FCC apparently is saying everything's fine. I don't know if they're that dog in the room that's on fire and they're, it's fine, it's fine. But the FAA apparently has not said it's fine yet. So we'll see what happens. All I know is I'm going to be very wary between a pandemic and 5G about getting onto a plane anytime soon.
Just fly to another country and you'll be okay.
But I got to start here, though.
That's obviously the answer. No, but it doesn't matter, because you're taking off here. So they don't care.
Off here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's the landing you're concerned about.
So maybe that's the whole plan here, is they want everybody to leave the U.S. and just not come back. Right. That's how you solve the pandemic. You just ship everybody out. And then there's no pandemic.
You just make it somebody else's problem for a while, and then they can come back in slowly over time. So speaking of travel, Winnebago will reveal an electric motorhome at Florida RV Super Show next week. So, but here's the thing, right? This is like a concept vehicle. And I'm like, wait, no. Why are we just now getting electric concept vehicles for RVs and for boats? Like, that it seems way, like, you should have had a concept vehicle for electric 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You should be releasing a line of these now. Like, who is at the helm of these companies that's so far behind? I don't get it. Like, come on, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
Also, I find it fascinating that there's an Florida RV Super Show. I've never been to it and I kind of want to go, but
I'm going to go with the fact that it's in Florida. And it's an RV Super Show tells me that I don't want to go. That's what that tells me.
Well, I don't want to go during a pandemic, but I do kind of want to go to see.
I love the idea of RVs. I do like that idea a lot.
Have you ever driven an RV? I've never driven an RV.
I've never driven or slept in an RV.
Neither
but
have
I would really like to at some point.
I feel like maybe we should tell Winnebago they should give us the electric RV, and we should do a Tech Talk Y'all RV
road show.
Trip.
That's what we should do.
Road
Tech
show.
Talk Y'all electric RV road show.
I
road
like
trip.
This.
Listen, Winnebago, if you're listening, and I hope that you are, we want to do that. Let's talk. Okay.
We've said Winnebago enough times that they should know that this episode
It should
happened.
Key in. We'll put it in the SEO magic. So
SEO magic. Next up, 75 million gallons of paint is wasted each year. This startup turns them into brand new cans. Do you have any paint cans full of half-filled paint
listen, man,
in the house?
I moved into a new house several years ago.
Uh-huh.
When I did, I inherited like 8 old paint cans for no good reason. And
And do you still have the paint cans?
Some of them. I have some of them.
And have you checked them out? Are they all dry inside?
I think they're all done. Yeah. I mean, like they're all like.
So why are you holding on to them?
I don't know. I just have never bothered to do whatever with them you're supposed to do. But I will say I've painted lots of rooms, and you're right. Like you can never have too much paint, but you can absolutely have too little paint. That's the idea here. This is brilliant. Like, why didn't somebody think of this a long time ago? This is so great. You know?
And then the price point of the paint is cheaper, obviously, because they're using recycled paint.
Yeah.
But they filter it. They kind of figure it out. And then there's just a handful of colors. Obviously, you can't get any color you want.
Right.
Because they're doing it based on the pigments that they're getting in.
Yeah.
But they set it up and then the colors are the colors. And if that's a color you want, hey.
That's great.
You're doing something good for the earth by recycling this paint and you're saving yourself money. So
yeah, I love it. Love it.
It's a good call.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I looked for where to recycle, but not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right, Sanjay, it's Weird and Wacky time, which is just always so beautiful. So,
and we're doing NFTs yet again, aren't we?
Oh, man. And we're doing NFTs. Oh my gosh, run by idiots. So NFT group NFT group buys copy of Dune for £2.66 million.
Euros,
believing it gives them the copyright. So they wanted to buy this old copy of Dune for a ton of money. And they thought that gave them the copyright to like make derivative works and to make movies and to make video and they wanted to like make it free and open source to everybody. And those are great aspirations, except for the fact that owning a copy versus the copyright are very different.
Yeah. And this copy of the book, generally of this edition, normally goes for about 25,000 euros.
Yeah.
They paid 100 times that, 2.66 million euros.
So here's the problem I have. Okay, this is a group that is savvy enough to be in the NFT space, and they're savvy enough to get together a group of people to put in stupid amounts of money into this space to spend a stupid amount of money on a book, but they're not smart enough somehow to understand that does not give them the copyright to the material to do whatever they want. Like, how is this level of intelligence and stupidity in one group of people possible? That's what I want to know.
P.T. Barnum, suckers born every minute. Is that the quote that's required?
That might be right.
One of their plans too was to convert the book into JPEGs, each of the pages, and then burn the book so that the book only then exists on the NFT kind of.
They do understand there's other copies, right? Like
apparently they think that there's only one copy. This is the copy. And that's it. And by
maybe they didn't notice that like there's this big movie that just recently came out called Dune, and they're obviously going to make more of them.
And it's the third version of that same movie that has come out. There was the original Dune, then this sci-fi version of Dune, and now this Dune. Which, by the way, this Dune is the best Dune.
It's fantastic. It really is. Really good. Yeah,
although really good. I do miss, you know, in the original Dune was Sting played one of the Harkonnens, and I miss having Sting.
Did you
watch the original Dune?
I've never watched the original Dune.
There's the problem. Have you read the books? The books are fantastic.
I actually am not. I need to get into the books, but I've got a few on the. I'm in the middle of a sci-fi series, and then a book from my favorite sci-fi series, The Expanse, just came out. Number nine. So I'm about to finish the first book of a new or second book of a new series I'm in. Then go to book nine of The Expanse, and then come back. And hey, I got a lot of reading to do. So, you know. Anyway. All right.
Yeah. Next up is kind of an awesome story to me, and we both tagged this because we both saw it in separate places, but Sotheby's unveils a 555.55 carat black diamond that is thought to come from outer space. So apparently the isotopes in this are of a certain type that make them believe that it was not formed here on Earth. And apparently black diamonds do happen. They happen, I think, I read in one of these articles, Brazil and someplace in Africa.
Right.
But they're relatively rare. But this thing is a monster. Like, you see the size of this thing.
So big. Yeah.
They also, by the way, they have kind of made it, or I guess, What do you call it when you like cut it down? Is it cutting it down?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, they cut it down and it has 55 faces as well.
Yeah.
And apparently the number 5 has some good
significant meaning. Yeah.
Meanings in Arabic or something.
And they expect this black diamond to go for approximately $6.8 million. So
also known as 3 Dune books.
Yeah. Maybe they could pay in Dune books. That'd be great.
Hey, I'll pay you 2 Dune books for that. I think that's going to be my measure of stuff.
How many Dune books will this cost me? That's really the question. Like, how many Dune books will this cost me? So
I'm buying a new house, and it's roughly 3/4 of a Dune book.
Oh my gosh! Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I think that's the new measure. All right, Sanjay, Tech Rec time. What do you have for us today?
So I stumbled on this site and it's super, super fascinating. And it's called River Runner.
Okay.
It doesn't have its own site. I mean, it is a site. It's off of somebody else's. It
doesn't have its
own
domain. Yeah.
So it's a little hard to find. So you need to go to the show notes to find it. But basically, you can drop a raindrop anywhere, maybe in the world, but definitely in the US, and see where it goes from there. So what's interesting is the city that I'm in, Duluth, we are right on the Continental Divide. So on one side of the Continental Divide, the water will flow to the Atlantic Ocean. On the other side of the Continental Divide, it'll flow to the Gulf of Mexico. So you can actually drop a drop of water and trace where that would go. And it actually animates a movie, and you can actually see the whole flow all the way down. It's so well done. It's super fascinating. Oh my God.
I'm watching it right now. This is unbelievable.
Isn't it cool?
Holy smokes.
The visualization is great. And it really makes you understand kind of how everything is interconnected and how kind of water flows around the world. It's really neat.
I mean, I had this conversation with my kids the other day. They asked, like, where does water go? And I'm like, well, you know, it ultimately goes to the ocean. Like, but like, now I can be like, well,
a little bit.
When rain comes at our house right here, let's see where it goes, kids. You know, yep. Like that's remarkable. I started the animation. I'm still not to the ocean, man. It's like it's traveling a long way right here.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I just clicked on someplace in Canada, and yeah, it works for Canada too. So I'm pretty sure that they've set this up that it works anywhere.
Man, that is unbelievable.
Isn't that neat?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
Okay. Huh. What about you, Adam? What do you got for us today?
Well, nothing nearly as fancy. I'm just going to, like, there's a little website. It's called remove.bg, and it will remove backgrounds from your images. If you need, I mean, there's a million apps that'll do this now, by the way, as well. So there's lots of different ways to do this. But if you need something on your computer and you don't want to use Photoshop or whatever else, and you want to remove a background, then, you know, upload it to remove.bg and it'll remove it for you. So, yeah, there you go.
There you go. That's practical. I've done this by hand before, and it's painful. So
it is really painful. Cool. I still remember, you know, being a graphic designer, albeit a really terrible graphic designer at an agency, probably back in like 2009, and in like the painstaking process of removing something from a green screen by hand is just, oh my God, like, it's so awful. I mean, now it's instant. But back then, man, it was real pain. So anyway,
yeah. By the way, I just tried out River Runner. It does work in Europe as well. So I'm presuming that it works kind of worldwide. So
that's amazing.
Try that out.
All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me on Twitter at @Sanjay, S-A-N-J-A-Y, or sanjaypark.com, or dropping little raindrops on River Runner and seeing where they go. What about you, Adam?
They can find me on my website, adamjwalker.com, or go to togetherletters.com. Sign up, or edgewise.media, and let's talk some podcasts. They can find me all over the place. I'm everywhere, man. I'm everywhere. That's all I'm saying.
All the places. Trying to collect Dune books.
I'm collecting Dune books and NFTs so I can spend money at a restaurant that has my name on a list.
A paper list.